Hello, and thank you for joining us here at the Care Ministries podcast. I am joined in the studio by Jody Gibson, who is the director of Celebrate Recovery.
Hello, all.
And also Dr. Gene Beckner, who is the Care Ministries pastor here at Brookwood Church.
Hey, everybody.
And I am Doug Wildman. I'm the counseling and marriage pastor. I almost forgot what I did here for a second there. We are getting ready to start a brand new series that is going to take us throughout the rest of the year, which is based off of the verse that is the theme of this year that was introduced by Gene at the Care Ministries Volunteer Appreciation Supper this year, which is, "Here I am, send me." So, as we are heading into this new year, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on one part of that verse for each week that we are here. So this week is here, and specifically what I'd like to talk with you guys about is how do we stay present in the moment when our minds tend to constantly draw our attention away either into the past or into the future. A lot of the time when I'm working with people with anxiety, they are thinking about, oh no, what is going to happen? And so they're not present-minded. So I'd like to kind of focus our attention today on how do we actually stay in the moment. And one of the things that kind of came to my mind, I'll get us started off here, is part of it is just trusting in God's provision, you know, because we oftentimes find ourselves in situations where, you know, we're worried about not having enough, or what if this happens or what if that happens, and it causes our train of thought to constantly be thinking in anywhere other than here in the present moment. So we can rest in God's provision for today rather than worry about the future, which is unknown to all of us. We don't really know what's going to be coming. And I don't know, we were talking about this the other day, but the only real remedy for intrusive thoughts that I'm aware of is to intentionally replace those thoughts with truth. Mm. And the word that I want to focus on is intentional, because we have to be intentional about changing the thought over. Now, that doesn't mean that the feeling changes. It just means that right in this present moment, we make a conscious choice to switch that thought and say, okay, I'm not going to go there right now. Here's what I know is true. That it may feel like, you know, I'm in danger, or that, oh no, what's going to happen tomorrow? But we have a conscious choice to make, an intentional choice to actually say to ourselves the truth. Which, you know, Matthew 6, 34 is a real well-known verse. It's, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring enough worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. So, you know, many of us have things that weigh us down, you know, things that we know are not exactly the way that they should be. And so we can very easily get caught up in really what comes down to worry. We may call it planning, but the reality is a lot of the time it's worrying. Plans have actionable steps. Worry is like spinning your wheels in the mud and not getting any kind of traction. We always have thoughts like, what if this happens, or what if that happens? When we trust in God, when we actually put our trust in Him, it's not just a one-time deal. It's a moment-by-moment thing where we are making the choice to trust in Him. And your brain might try to play a few tricks on you and try to convince you that you're being lazy or something. You know, you're being lazy by not preparing for the future. I've heard that 100 times, I'm sure. Maybe 100 times this week from people, you know. But it's a spiritual discipline, really, when it comes down to it. So we can focus on the present moment, and as we do that, it actually cultivates a deeper sense of trust in God's faithfulness to provide for our needs in this moment, in this day. So, Jody, you were going to talk a little bit about control.
Let me just go back for just a moment on when you were talking about plans always have actionable steps. So, mm-hmm. Proverbs always comes to mind for me. So, we may make our own plans. You know, it's the Lord that determines our steps. Mm-hmm. So it's looking to Him with that for sure. But when I look at, of control, surrendering control to God, that word surrender and control don't seem to go together for me. Control is something that I feel like that I want. To surrender means I have no control. And that's that can be a big thing, and that can create anxiety.
Yes.
For me, for sure. And I say that from experiences, certainly in the past, for wanting to control outcomes. But I think with surrender, that word is a scary word. As I was talking to Doug beforehand, that thought of giving up surrender puts a lot of unknown mm-hmm. Thought process for myself. And it also means for me, like, giving up, which means it feels hopeless when I use that word surrender. But there's two different things. To surrender, a lot of times, like in a battle, someone surrenders. It means the other person or the other people have gained victory. You don't gain victory. But with God, it's just the opposite. When I'm able to surrender, I am actually gaining victory through surrender to God, as opposed to being defeated. So that came to mind. So
surrender is not the same thing as giving up.
No, it's totally different. Instead of giving up, I know I can look up, so that's a huge thing when it comes to that. Surrendering control to God, remembering who God is and really who I am in retrospect and size and how that is, that God is in control over every aspect of my life, even though I don't seem to realize it sometimes. But if I'm able to step away from that and look at it in a different perspective, instead of my own perspective, but through what God has given me through spiritual eyes and His Word, I can certainly see it in a different realm with it for sure.
And what's interesting is, like, when we're talking about this, like, I think back to, the scripture in Isaiah, here I am, send me, that Isaiah was able to stay in the present. And you think, okay, he's having this encounter with God. And when you read a lot of Isaiah and you realize there was a lot going on, Israel was in trouble. They're not necessarily doing what God wants them to do. And he's giving messages to Isaiah that are like, it's like what you don't want to have to go tell everybody. Mm-hmm. And he's being confronted with his own stuff. And yet he, because of that surrender, and because I think he sees that God is good to him, like God is like, not punishing him, but is trying to help him be more integrated, have that relationship with him, his ability to stay in the present when there was so much that was going on that he could have easily gotten distracted. Mm-hmm. And so, like what you're saying, Doug, like this idea of like, if I'm not worrying, and I put that in quotes, or planning, mm-hmm. I should say, for the future, then somehow I'm doing something wrong.
Yes.
Whereas what Isaiah teaches us in Isaiah 6:8 is he shows us that if we stay in the present, God is going to do what he needs to do, mm-hmm. and we get to participate in that. It's when we get in front of him, right?
Yep.
Or like Jody is famous now for the idea of, do a little and I'll do the rest. Well, what was Isaiah's little? Stay right here. Stay in the present. If you'll stay in the present with me, you'll see the glory of the Lord. You'll see what God is going to do. And sometimes, and I know, Doug, and you've said this before, it's like we miss so much of what's happening right here in mm-hmm. front of us when we're anxious about the future,
yep.
or when we're reflecting too much in the past. So, again, like what Jody is famous for, which is this idea of, you do a little, I'll do the rest. And I think that's what Isaiah gets to see. Like, Isaiah has a purpose. He has to go tell Israel some things. But his ability to stay in the present with God means that God used him in a greater way. It's not that God can't, you know, I don't want anybody to hear, well, God can't use me if I'm anxious or if I'm depressed or if I've got this issue or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to be more aware of what he wants from you and for you when you are saying, I'm here.
Yes.
You know? I mean, like, you know, like your kids, right? Like, when it's time to eat, if they tell you they're here, then they get the hot dog, right? With chili, maybe. Depends on, you know, what you're serving your kids. Versus if they're out somewhere else and they're not around, they're playing video games in their room, and you've called them to dinner. I don't know how y'all grew up, but, like, if we didn't come when we got called, we just didn't get anything.
Yeah.
Or it was all gone, or it was in the fridge by then. They're like, hey, you got to, you know.
You got to warm it up.
Yeah, you got to take care of yourself.
Yep.
Whereas if you're like, hey, when you get called and you say, I'm here, you as parents take care of your kids. It's the same way with God. If he calls us and we say here, then that's the first step. We don't have to worry about it being perfect.
True. I agree. And again, surrender. I mean, sometimes I guess a thought process could be that I have to surrender all these things to God, mm-hmm. where in essence with some people, I mean, it's like one thing at a time that I can go to God with and right. have to surrender instead of it just being all of these things. That can cause anxiety when you think about trying to surrender all these things at one time mm-hmm. and saying, I don't know what that looks like. You know, I don't even know where to begin. So just choosing one thing to surrender. And I think sometimes during the day, you know, even for myself especially, you know, being able to surrender hour by hour with things during the day because there's thoughts that come to mind, you know, that I'm reminded of. But however, it doesn't change who I am in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So I can come to him and surrender that so that way I can continue to press forward and not get froze in a moment and really be mm-hmm. present, like we were talking about, being here and be present
yeah.
With God and what he's doing. And instead of isolating myself out away from that moment.
I was talking to one of our staff members yesterday, and this guy's a real humble guy, and he has a family member who's going through some major health issues, and I just asked, you know, how is your family member doing? And he said, you know, it's really come to light how, you know, when the scripture says that God gives us the grace that we need at that moment, mm-hmm. it's not a wholesale grace for, you know, that covers everything. It's whatever it is that you are going through at this very moment, God will provide the grace that you need to get through that. Mm-hmm. So like as an outsider looking at his situation, I was like, man, I don't know how I would handle that.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, well, that's not for you to be thinking about. It's for me to be thinking about because I'm the one going through this right now. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same way with some of the circumstances that maybe you are facing right now. God does want to meet you right where you are mm-hmm. and to communicate to you and to settle your heart mm-hmm. With the very thing that you might be thinking that maybe God has overlooked you on. I personally think, and I'll throw this out to you guys too, I personally think that those trials and tribulations are actually the avenue that God tends to use to communicate to his people.
Mm-hmm.
I think C.S. Lewis talked about it as, you know, suffering as being like the megaphone that God shouts to a deaf world.
Mm.
And it arrests our attention. Mm-hmm. And it causes us to pay attention. So suffering may not be what it appears to be. It appears to be maybe God is leaving me alone and is ignoring me, when in fact it's actually the very method that he's going to use to draw you nearer to himself.
Yeah, I heard a saying one time that silence cannot be misquoted. So I think it's real easy if you think about that, you know, if God is kind of being silent in the moment, we cannot misinterpret what God is actually saying to us in that moment. So, you know, that's a huge thing for my thought. And silence is one of those things. I think in this busy world, it's hard to find silence with so much that's going on. And I think a lot of times when we encounter someone that's going through some things, we
fight because we felt like we have to have some kind of words to share with somebody. Mm-hmm. When really, I think it's sometimes God just wants us to be there with them, and you know, in the present, you know, here.
Yes.
In that, it's for sure. I believe it happens a lot more than we realize.
Now, Gene, you were going to talk to us a little bit today about embracing God's presence in the middle of you know, some of these times where you know, maybe we're tempted to look to the past or to look to the future and not be present.
Well, and you've said it before, and I know, and Jody kind of said it just now, like all we have is the present. So, you know, as we live our lives, you know, can we get into this habit, or maybe it's a spiritual discipline of just saying, okay, God, what are you saying to me right now? Like, what are you saying to me in this moment? Because, you know, Proverbs 3:5-6 says not to lean on our own understanding, right? But to seek God. But, you know, if I'm not seeking God until after events happen, and then I go, oh, I'm going back and I'm apologizing to people, or I'm going, you know, God, what should I have done in that moment? Versus what about when you're in the moment? And that's hard. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a value to that, because it keeps us from maybe getting off that path. I mean, you know, we've all had moments where we're like about to say something we shouldn't. And sometimes the Holy Spirit says, and other times we're just common sense. We're like, yeah, that's not going to help anything. So let me just, but what if we made it a habit of just saying, God, what are you saying to me right now? Whether that's in silence or in pain or in good times, you know? Because I think sometimes we think that's only when we're having trouble. But what if things are going well? Like, God, what do you want to say to me now? Because God may just want to say to you, you know, that he loves you. He may just want to shower you with his love, as opposed to it always having to be an answer to something. Although he does say in Psalm, like Psalm 46, that he's our refuge, he's our strength, you know, and that to be still, like Jody just said about the silence thing, you know, like there's noise constantly, but like to be just be still and know that he's God gets you into his awareness. Like one of my pet peeves is when people talk about things and they say, God showed up. No, he didn't. He was there. You just became aware of him.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
What we should say is that I became aware of how much of God was there versus well, he showed up. It's not like he was, you know, down at Bargain Foods and just decided to come over to CR at Brookwood. Oh, he showed up. No, he was there the whole time. You just have to learn to become aware of it. And again, going back to the Isaiah piece, I think, you know, Isaiah in that moment understands that he is a man of unclean lips, like right before this, right? He understands that he is man. He's a sinner, and he is in the presence of a holy God. And he does what we will all do when we're in the presence of God, is we will bow down, because it's going to be all, you know, it's going to be awesome. But yet in God's kindness, he sends that angel over there with the coal, and he takes it away from him. And so his awareness of, hey, God's not just holy and set apart and so great, and I'm not. Now there's a sense of, man, you did that for me. Like, you did something for me that I could not do for myself. Here I am. Send me. Like, you know, like, you sense that gratitude in him of, what do you want from me? But if my mind is constantly in the future or in the past, you know, and Brian Jones says this a lot. He says, you know, sometimes people miss the things that are happening in the body of Christ, just because of what we're talking about today, is to just be present.
Be present.
You can't. We don't know. Christ could come back while we're doing this.
Yeah.
In fact, he may come back to stop us because we're being fools, right? He might say, "Okay, I've had enough of you guys."
Hey, he could come back now. I have no problem with that.
I know.
No problem at all.
Yeah.
Oh man.
You know, I think my last little piece here, and I know Doug, you're gonna wrap us up, but like, the value of the present. You know, like, it's 80 degrees today, and just walking from my car over here, it was just like, oh,
amazing.
It just feels so good.
Yes, wonderful.
You know, like just that moment or that, you know, that smile on your kid's face. You know, had lunch with one of my daughters yesterday, and she got lost trying to find the place we were eating. And then when I saw her walking in, it was just that moment of her walking in. It was like, this is awesome. You know, we have a moment. And then when my bacon came, that was a great moment.
Your bacon came?
I got bacon. I mean, yeah, I had eggs and bacon and a waffle. And when the bacon came, I was like, God. I mean, I love bacon. So I was just like, this.
I think everybody loves bacon.
Yeah, but. Well, you know, not everybody.
Well, yeah.
But in that moment, it was like, this is the moment. Right, like how many, and that's what our life is made up of, is all the moments.
That's all it's made up of.
Right, and that's what we're going to remember.
Yeah.
When we're leaving this world, it's going to be all those, but in a good way. But if you were never present during the memories, and everybody else has to tell you what was happening, and you're like, I don't remember any of that, then that would be so disappointing. We'd be missing out.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, very much so. There is something about being present, not being distracted by our own thoughts, mm-hmm. but being in the present moment, mm-hmm. where God wants to meet you. You might be listening to this as you're driving. You might be, in your bedroom listening to this. Wherever you are, God wants to meet with you right now in this present moment. He has a plan for you. He may stop you in the middle of your prayer. I've had this happen many times where I'm praying for something and it's like the Spirit says, no, I want you to pray this way. Mm. We need to learn how to be attuned to His voice. Mm. And He wants to bless you with His presence. And that is that's a possible thing. As you are sitting listening to us, I just ask you to close your eyes if you could, and I'm going to close this out in a word of prayer. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we come to you with all of our brokenness, with all of our joys. And we come to you and we ask, Lord, what is it that you want to say to us today? Lord, help us to be attuned to your Spirit. Help us to hear your voice. And Lord, when we read your scripture, may you illuminate the things that you want us to know. For those people that come into our path, let us not just take it for granted, but to really be paying attention to what it is that they're saying, so that we can hear from you and hear from them being in the present. Lord, thank you for this time. I pray that it would be a blessing to everyone who is listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Care Ministries podcast from Brookwood Church. If you would like more information about today's topic or you need support, you can call us at 864-688-8355 or email us at careministries@brookwoodchurch.org. To find out more about what Care Ministries offers, please visit www.brookwoodchurch.org/care. We'd love to be an encouragement to you as we walk together in a healing relationship with Christ. Until next time, God bless.